Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week was also one of the I am sayings that John records. Last week was I am the good shepherd. This week is I am the vine. We mentioned that John records seven of these. We talked a little bit about how they usually get repeated at least once, as is the case today. And in that sense, they're somewhat circular. One leads to the other, layering on top slightly different understandings, meandering around until they come back to the main thought. But the main thing about all of these I am statements is that they are personal revelations of God. They are God telling us humans who He is. The revelation of God in the Old Testament, and to be more honest, most of God's self-revelation was always hidden or at one remove, behind pillars of fire and cloud, or in that Holy of Holies glimpsed once a year through the angel of the Lord and burning bushes and still small voices. And those were often employed in actions of theophany. God would do something like the plagues or fire from heaven for Elijah or sending Israel into exile. And maybe through a prophet, God would explain a bit of His action. But at least in my reading, rarely did God reveal His ways. And His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts, not our thoughts. And the secret things of God remain His forever. And yet, in Jesus, we have the full revelation of God. And in Jesus, we have these I am statements. God attempting to reveal His ways to us. It's one of the constant early questions of the spiritual life. Why is there suffering? Our thoughts can often run in this logic. If God loves us, and if God is omnipotent, therefore we should be delivered from all suffering. All of the spiritual traditions of the world have some answer for that. The Buddha's answer was, you suffer because you want. The biggest want, of course, was to go on existing. So you end your desire to exist, and your suffering would stop. The Stoics' answer was simply that this is the world. God, or the unmoved mover, doesn't really care about you. And any smaller god isn't omnipotent and is just out for their own designs. Observe how the Olympians acted. Christianity has its own stable of answers. The first one would be the reality of sin. The world as we experience it with all of its suffering is a world of sin. A world that groans in its rebellion and is wearing out. The powers that be are antagonistic towards their Creator. The second answer, which Jesus Himself would point at elsewhere, would be that God did not spare Himself this suffering. If the world treated Jesus to the cross, How could we expect anything less? But those answers might be closer to that cry of dereliction from the cross. They're seeds of meditation around what we might label as senseless suffering. But not all suffering or hardship gets labeled senseless. There are stock phrases like, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger," or "Iron sharpens iron." There are natural experiences that mastering anything worth doing, learning to play an instrument, for example, is a struggle. If you garden, you deadhead flowers that more might grow. And a plant might put out three branches at one point, two of which probably have to be cut off for the plant to grow properly. The way of life is often the path through suffering. And if not suffering, then at least the struggle. And I think when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," the first time, that's what he's revealing about God in his ways. There's a twofold revelation here. The first is that my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The struggle of the spiritual life is real. But the Christian should understand those struggles as preparations for greater fruitfulness. Because we are sinful, we don't grow straight. And the Father prunes off bad shoots. If we find certain paths that we really want to walk blocked, or maybe others surprisingly open, there might be a reason they're blocked or open. They've been pruned off. And we've been kept from them by the mysterious grace of God, even though it might not feel like it at the time. The second revelation here is that Jesus, the Son of God, is here with us under that vine dresser, because he is the vine. And that leads to a couple of thoughts. The first is that God does prune himself. God limits himself in some ways. He limits himself in the promises that he has given us. Those promises that he gave us in baptism. Those promises that he gives us on this table. He's promised to be present there. Ultimately, these all, of course, lead back to the cross, because God does not spare himself. And those are the deep roots that all in Christ are connected. Which leads to the second thought that I think is more what Jesus is emphasizing this first time he says, "I am the vine." There is no fruit produced that is not connected to Jesus. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. As long as we are connected to the vine, connected to Christ by faith, you are already clean, as he says. The word has made you clean. The word that you have heard preached, the word connected to those waters of your baptism, the word which makes bread and wine the body and blood of Christ. These are all the ways that you have been made clean and are connected to Christ. And so long as we abide in Christ, abide in his word, and in these things we will bear fruit. If we cut ourselves off, we die. There is no life outside of the connection to Christ. Jesus then utters the phrase a second time, "I am the vine." But this time, instead of contemplating the relation to the Father, it's purely our relation to Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he develops that revelation a little further. He repeats that idea of abiding in him. Apart from Christ, the vine can do nothing. But in Christ we shall bear much fruit. And it's worth contemplating this in the midst of that spiritual struggle. It might not feel like we are bearing much fruit. But the promise is that if we abide in the Word, we shall. There are lots of places in the Bible where we can go and understand what fruit is. One of the clearest is Paul's passage on the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's be honest. Those things are pretty darn near impossible to measure. The second we set out to graph and measure them, we all see how little we have, or how far we have to go. But the promise is that we shall bear much fruit. And I think his point is less a worry about measurements and more about staying connected to the vine. Let the vine and the vine dresser measure any fruit. Because what Jesus emphasizes more this second time is what happens when we do not abide. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The emphasis the second time through is on our actions. And it's not that we make fruit, because that's going to happen as long as we stay connected. The emphasis is on what do we do to abide in Christ. So the struggle of the spiritual life is to remain connected to Christ. And Jesus ends this section with the great promise of that spiritual life. If we are abiding in that word, if we are in the midst of that struggle, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. He says, that's how my Father is glorified. The life that comes from the Father flows through the Son and into you and me and all who abide in Jesus. And that life will produce fruit. And that fruit is the proof of the disciple. And the prayer of the disciple in the midst of the spiritual struggle of this world is twofold. Lord, keep me connected to the vine. Don't let me wither away apart from you. And Lord, let this struggle bring forth your fruits, that your name might be praised, that it might be praised on earth as it is in heaven. Let this life of fruitfulness be mine. And grant me the eyes to see the fruit as the vine dresser does. Let your life flow through mine and transfigure my perception, that I might see the victory in this daily struggle that sometimes doesn't appear to me, that I might see the harvest that you have prepared. Amen.